Three of America's finest storytellers are featured at a new exhibition of the Smithsonian Museum of American Art. Telling Stories is the title of the show. And here's the subtitle, Norman Rockwell, from the collections of George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. Seems the filmmakers are great fans of illustrator Norman Rockwell, and their collections include covers that Rockwell painted for the Saturday Evening Post magazine from 1916 to 1963. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg has our story.
Norman Rockwell, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, connection? They're all commercial artists, myth makers, dream makers. They all love heroes, valor, humor. They're part of popular culture. They love their country and images. Did you ever compete for a picture?
No, we usually talk beforehand, and we decide who gets it. It's whoever wants it the most. We've spent our whole life like that. You know, we haven't competed on anything.
Great friends, these men who gave us Star Wars, Jaws, Indiana Jones, Close Encounters, Schindler's List, E.T. I'm running out of time. Friends who've worked together or apart since the 1960s.
We came sort of from the film school generation.
This is George Lucas.
And so we were all sort of partners in trying to break into the movie business as we all helped each other.
The friendship carries over into what they collect. Lucas started buying Norman Rockwell illustrations as soon as he could afford them. Spielberg caught the Rockwell bug, too. Both men grew up with Saturday Evening Post covers, which Norman Rockwell painted in oil. Deeply American, iconic images. A family Thanksgiving, a kid at the dentist, or doing homework with his dad, or raking leaves with his grandfather, or watching a pretty mother, primp, at the dressing table.
He wasn't cynical. He wasn't mean-spirited.
But he captured the American ideal of what we wanted to believe we were. And we weren't any better then than we are now. But by having the ideal out there, what we aspire to, it made it so that we could try to be more than what we were.
Lucas and Spielberg have Norman Rockwell pictures all over their homes, offices, and in storage. This is the first time they've seen 57 of them together in one place. Many of their Rockwells involve children. Wonder, awe, the power of imagination. George Lucas bought The Shadow Artist, a 1920 magazine illustration, because it hits so close to home.
It's sort of the beginning of movies. It's the using light and shadow to tell a story, which is what we do for a living.
Rockwell paints a white-bearded gentleman standing in profile against a wall that's bathed in light from an oil lamp. His raised arms cast shadows.
And he's making a little animal with his fingers.
A shadow dog with open mouth and perky ears. And, says Betsy Bruin, director of the American Art Museum, the shadow artist has an audience.
There are three small children absolutely wrapped in the foreground. We only see the backs of their heads. The girl has a bright red bow. The middle boy has red suspenders. The boy on the right has hair going in different directions and great big ears.
And all of them are mesmerized by the magic the old man is making with his shadow.
That magic is at the heart of every movie.
Now this to me, although it belongs to Steven Spielberg, looks like a scene out of American Graffiti.
I just saw a vision. I saw a goddess. Come on, you gotta catch up to her.
It certainly could be. I mean, that certainly could be Richard Dreyfuss looking at Suzanne Somers down there, although she didn't have a convertible.
Rockwell's painting, a 1941 Saturday Evening Post magazine cover, is called The Flirts. A pretty blonde, her convertible top down, waits at a stoplight. Next to her, hanging out the window of his immense turquoise truck, the beefy driver holds a daisy.
He's picking the petals off us and, you know, loves me not.
Virginia Mecklenburg is curator of this Rockwell show.
He looks at her with a nice smile on his face.
Very sweet. He's not leery. It's not lascivious.
He's not leery. He's just being a guy.
But the pretty blonde stares snootily straight ahead, won't give the driver the time of day. It's funny, in a gentle way, a Norman Rockwell way, telling a story in a single frame. He had to grab a reader's attention at newsstands crowded with magazine covers. That may be why you do not linger in front of these paintings, as you would with a Monet or Picasso. There's nothing to puzzle out in Rockwell, no mysteries to be solved. Ruckwell's are quick shots, achieved with great skill. Again, Betsy Bruin.
There is a detail and a care and an attention to the way he puts the picture together.
Ruckwell's pictures, like those of his collectors, Lucas and Spielberg, were carefully cast.
He would cast the picture by interviewing friends and neighbors until he found someone who looked just right.
Then the artist hunted down just the right costumes for them to wear, the little girl's red ribbon, the blonde's white hat, and the proper props, a 1930s radio microphone, an Underwood typewriter, a rake. He gathered his costumed cast together, and a photograph was taken. Then, back in his studio, Norman Rockwell created his painting. No wonder movie directors George Lucas and Steven Spielberg would see in him a kindred spirit, although Rockwell gets his knocks, too saccharine, sentimental, soppy.
In the art world, it's called corny and naive.
George Lucas.
But, you know, you take the corny and naive out of the American spirit, out of these images, and you end up with a lot of what is going on today, which is the same ideas, only without any of the heart, without any of the human compassion.
Norman Rockwell painted the world as he wanted it to be. Today, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas find Rockwell telling stories we need, now perhaps more than ever. Their Rockwell collection is at the Smithsonian American Art Museum until early January and will not travel. In Washington, I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
And you can see a gallery of paintings by Norman Rockwell on our website at npr.org.
From NPR News, this is Morning Edition, produced by Nicole Beemster-Bohr and Barry Gordimer. Senior producers include Tom Bullock, Cindy Carpian, Neva Grant, and Jim Wildman. Our executive producer is Madalika Sicca.
The director of news programming is Ellen McDonnell. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. And I'm Mary Louise Kelly, sitting in for Steve Inskeep,
who will be gone for the rest of July. He's working on a book. I'm Renee Montaigne.